Do you notice what we just read from Jesus in John 15? Not only did he change their designation from servants and even students, but to friends, and he emphasized that. I now call you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. I did that last week to you. I said Romans when I meant John. I'm in John. John 15, verse 15. I can do this. I can look at my notes and find the right verse. All things I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. It's so interesting that we get taught, and you don't have to guess at what's most important. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and that when in discussing the greatest commandment, Jesus had an answer. You and I might think, say, what's the most important part of the Bible? This and then this part tells about, that part tells about the creation, and this part tells about the cross, and this part tells about God. And we might have a discussion about what's most important. Jesus was very clear about the greatest commandment, and he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus gave us an answer to what was greatest and most important. And he gave us an answer to what we ought to do first. First, or primarily, he taught us that we should seek his kingdom, seek God's kingdom in everything we do. Every day you get up, it might be a good thing to say to yourself, what can I do today to seek God's kingdom? What can I do today to engage myself in the kingdom of God? Seek primarily in all you do and say God's kingdom. And then he told us the greatest thing to do in the kingdom, or to be counted among the greatest in the kingdom. Truly I say to you, unless you are converted, this is Matthew 18, verse 3. Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as a child, he's greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a lesson in itself, to attach yourself to the trust and humility, the characteristic that little children have. Our teenagers have already been distanced like we have, and jaded, and we're cautious, and we go, I don't know, right? You're not always sure about things that are right in front of you. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. A little child isn't that way. You tell something to a little child, and they say, really? Which means you got to be careful how you talk to children. Don't tell them things that aren't true. Unless you become like a little child, unless you humble yourself as a child, you won't enter the kingdom, and whoever does that is considered as the greatest in the kingdom. We're told the greatest commandment. We're told the second greatest commandment. We're told the greatest thing to do in seeking the kingdom of God. And we're told what it means to be greatest in the kingdom. It is so refreshing to be given, to be taught, not to left wondering, what's most important for me to do? What should I be engaged in? What should I be busy about? What does God want of me? This past week has been a very tough week. It's crisscrossed us in numerous ways. Death has. Right across the street, a friend of many here and the owner of a business in our own neighborhood, Builders Bargains, the owner of Builders Bargains, Monty Merrill, passed away suddenly. Nobody knows, nobody was with him when he died. He seemed to be exercising in his own home, where they found him on the floor. His family was on a trip visiting folks, and he was alone at the time. Just last night, if you caught news between yesterday afternoon and this morning, you found out that the president of ConocoPhillips, Jim Bowles, died in a snow machine accident caught under an avalanche. They say, and another snow machiner with him, the other snow machiner was named Alan Gage, who happens to be the son of Mark Keller's friend, Lee Gage. So even there we're connected. Last Monday, Mel Hall in Lawrenceville, Georgia, a pilot with Jay and Sandy Baldwin visiting them, got into a twin-engine plane. This man and his family are also friends of the Neesons. Got into a twin-engine plane for a quick check ride. Both engines quit before he got very far from the airport. He fought to miss the housing areas, put the plane in the trees so that his passengers would be the safest, and gave up his own life. And his passengers were only slightly injured. And even in the Olympics, Nodar Kumaritashvili, the luge rider, took off on a training run and was dead before the end of the run. I don't bring up these things to be sad or morbid. Obviously, all of these families need our prayers and our connections and our loving support. I say this because all of these people last Sunday had plans ahead of them. All of these people were healthy and active and focused and moving forward, going to do things. And they're not here today. They're not on this earth anymore. And if you knew how many days you had left, you would probably change the pattern of your behavior. If you thought that way, if you said, you know what, I'm going to die too. I may not make it out the week. I may not make it through this week. What's most important for me to do? Isn't it refreshing that God and Christ give us the greatest things to participate in? The greatest things that we can do, he tells us about and shows us. And in fact, Jesus gives us his life as an example. But I want us to connect quickly for a few minutes to the God behind that. Because it's not just these actions that we're involved in. It's not just this kingdom that we're looking to connect to. Jesus constantly tries to show us his heavenly Father. All things that I heard from my Father, I made known to you. So if you'll join me just for a few moments, let's take a look at the magnificence of our heavenly Father. Just a few verses, if you don't mind. A friend of Job, in talking to him in Job chapter 5, verse 8, "But as for me," he says to Job, "I would seek God. I would place my cause before God, who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number." That's our heavenly Father. In Romans 11, in the hinge verse that sort of defines the entire book of Romans, or connects the entire book of Romans, one half to the other. Romans 11, verse 33. "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, how unfathomable his ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who became his counselor? Who has first given to him that it might be paid back again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Moses talking to the people of Israel. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and love him. To serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that's in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples to this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien. For you were aliens in Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him. You shall swear by his name. He is your praise. He is your God who has done these great and awesome things for which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. I was listening to John read Isaiah 43. And I wanted to start inserting more things into the lesson. That magnificent passage of praise and description of who God is and what it means for people to obey him and how much it stings, how much it hurts him for us to disobey him. Hebrews chapter 12. In the description of the kingdom, the church, in the description of the kingdom, in connection back to Moses coming to the mountain in Exodus chapter 19, the church, the church on earth and the eternal church are described in Hebrews 12 as a mountain. So that's the reference when we begin this. Hebrews 12, verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking the words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. That's what it was like in God's presence for Israel and for Moses. But verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they do not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that that what cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. That was the New International Version of that verse, by the way. Powerful, stirring, filled with warning and awe and appreciation for God. But look at the next verse. In the presence of God at that level, look at the very next verse in Hebrews. Let love of the brethren continue. What's so awesome about this, in the presence of this powerful God, in the presence of this Creator God, in the participation of Christ on our life and His death on the cross to wash out and wipe away all that filth that we have in our lives, what rises to the surface, the greatest thing that we get to participate in? In 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 11, when I was a child, it says, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly. You don't understand now. Now we see in a mirror dimly. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. In the presence of that awesome God, in the presence of His great creation, in the presence of His hatred for sin, in the presence of His complete devotion to the love of His people, He wants us to know that about Him more than anything else. He wants us to know His love, and He wants us to join Him in it. On this day in which we sign cards and buy flowers and give chocolates and give each other that extra hug and that extra kiss because of this thing called love, there is a great love. A passionate, permanent, powerful love that belongs to our Heavenly Father. Jesus says, verse 13 of John 15, where we started, greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. We even get to participate in that. You know John 3:16. Most of you know it by heart. Look at 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. That's how we know love. You want to know what love is? You look to the cross. And everything the cross means, sacrifice, innocence, forgiveness, a purposed gift, etc., etc., etc. There are hundreds of lessons that go through the cross, and they all connect to love. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And this is our point. This is our point. This is our part. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I don't know how many days I have left on this earth. I don't know when my life, it may be I get a disease and I have warning and time and preparation. It may be that my plans for tomorrow never come because I don't ever make it to tomorrow. Whenever that tomorrow never comes for me, I want that I knew and walked in what was greatest, what was most significant. And the greatest and most significant thing we can do is to know God's love and do it. To love each other. Obviously, your family is included in that. But it's really talking about the church. It's really talking about our love in this family, our love in this room, our love to those who aren't in this room because of a hurt or a division. I personally was able to be blessed by some repair this week to relationships. Somebody pulled me in, and I got to watch from a distance at least people in tears forgive and hug and reconnect to restore a relationship that had been damaged. This connects personally and directly to that powerful Heavenly Father we just read about. And it's what he wants us to be most active and most purposed in. So this week, your job, your homework, is to go fix one of those. If you don't have anything broken out there, God bless you. God bless you. Then go strengthen one you haven't been working on lately. But it's his fault. Go talk to him. I try. Do it again. But he's. Tell him you love him. Write him a note. Greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. We don't own our lives anymore. Christ paid for them. So when he tells us what to do, we say, yes, sir. So use this reminder, this day of reminder about love, to apply that great, sacrificial, uniting, serving love and make it more real in your life. It all goes through the cross. And if anyone here has not benefited personally or directly by the death of Christ on the cross, if your sins haven't been washed away because his blood was shed that day, we make that available to you today. If you're ready to be baptized, if your faith is ready and your fellowship is ready, we ask you if you're ready to be baptized today, and we'll help you do that. If you're not ready but you're interested, please don't let the day go by without asking for a Bible study or an explanation. Or if you have another need to fix a situation before the body here, let that happen this morning. Whatever your need be, please.